Ecclesiastes chapter number 7 and verse number 8. I want to just talk about something that every church needs tonight, every church needs. And of course, you could list 100 things under that. But in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 8, it says this, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Anybody can be a flash in the pan. You know what that expression means, a flash in the pan? Sometimes you say something about somebody that I think probably the more senior people here have remembered that saying from the past, a flash in the pan. There are some people who are just a flash in the pan. And boy, they're just, whew, and boy, they give off a big light and everybody says, wow, look at him or look at her or something. But the Bible says here in this the better chapter, I call this the better chapter, seven betters. These aren't people at the gambling hall. These are B-E-T-T-E-R. There's seven of them mentioned in the first 8 verses. A good name is better. Verse 2, it is better. Verse 3, sorrow is better. It goes on. And it says in our text, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. Anyone can start. All right? Anyone can start. But better is the end of a thing than the beginning. And we need some people to get started, amen? But we need some finishers, too. We need some finishers, too. But I want you to notice the second part of the verse. It says, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. And I'd like to take that thought and maybe make a secondary application of it tonight. Regarding the church, it's better for a church to have a patient spirit than it is for a church to have a proud spirit. There is usually a prevailing spirit in every church that you go to. If you went from church to church to church tonight, like Brother Chris is, we hardly see him anymore as he's out on deputation. We're glad for him. But as he goes from church to church to church to church to church tonight, Brother Chris is sensing a particular spirit when he goes in the church. A particular spirit in the next church he goes to, and a particular spirit in the next church, a prevailing spirit is in every church. Some churches, it's a contentious spirit. People in it are always fighting with each other. We are warned of that we don't be consumed one with another. And so sometimes you get into a church and there's always a contentious spirit. There's a division. You'd think the Hatfields and McCoys were the only families in the church or something. Others have a friendly spirit. That's a wonderful thing. That's very complimentary. If somebody can come, we get that sometimes from missionaries after we try to put them up in charity house, and some of you take care of the house and the yard down there so nice, and we try to treat them well, maybe take them out to dinner, try to give them a good love offering, try to go by their display and talk with them and ask them questions, and sometimes they will say to us, there's a really friendly spirit in this church, and I certainly hope that is true. Some churches have a business spirit about them, and the church is a business. The word business is in the Bible, and there is a business aspect to a church, but some are all business, and it just seems like money, 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 and project, 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 and that people are used to build the ministry more than the ministry is used to build the people. And I don't think that's quite right. Some churches have a caring spirit. They've gone beyond just being friendly to really being a caring, having a caring spirit where they really, really treat each other like brothers and sisters in the Lord. Literally like it's my spiritual family and I'm responsible for the people that are here and how can I pray for you and what can I do for you, and they're not filled with themselves. Some churches have an evangelistic spirit, can be good. It is definitely good. It's definitely right in line with God's will and the Great Commission. There are some churches that sometimes it's just soul winning only, and they sometimes boast of great numbers and numbers of baptisms, and they don't really seem to disciple too many people. But they can talk about how many came in maybe in the buses or how many got saved and so on and so forth. And I'm certainly not critical of any church that's trying to be evangelistic. I know there's more to the church than just being evangelistic. But then there's some churches, I fear, that have a proud spirit. They think they're the best church around. They think they're better than others. They look down on other churches. They think their pastor's the best, their ministries are the best, and so on and so forth. And they're very, very proud in their spirit. Now, we're told, however, in verse 7, the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. It's better that we have a patient spirit. And I want to talk about that, having a church with a patient spirit, and how beneficial that is to God's Word. When people have a proud spirit, they put people down as they exalt themselves. But when people have a patient spirit, they put up with people. They exalt others. They are long-suffering towards people, and they have their focus on others. A proud spirit in the church ends up where people are very short with other people. They don't have time for them. They can't get involved. They don't want to pray with them because they're kind of consumed with themselves. That's what proud people do. Now, proud people have too high, too inflated of an opinion of themselves. Proud churches have too proud and too inflated of an opinion of themselves. But then there's churches that have a patient spirit, and they're long-suffering with people. And the proud focuses on ourselves, but the patient focus on what God is doing and what God is doing in other people, and they rejoice. They rejoice when they see other people growing in the Lord. The patient in spirit, the church that has a patient spirit, rejoices when a little baby Christian takes very little baby little steps. And they don't get down on them when they miss three straight Sundays, but they get up on them when they're back one week. Say, man, we're glad you're back. And Pastor was saying earlier about one of the boys that just got saved, I think 3 weeks ago here in church, and he was out passing out tracts yesterday down there in Gowanda. I think that's, if I heard him right, he was saying that. What a wonderful thing. And you know, you got to have a whole lot of patience for a church has to have a patient spirit for God to really be allowed the time that He needs to work in people. If you will remember and try not to forget how patient God has been with you since you have been saved, and how that patient spirit has helped you in your growth. Patience is enduring faith. I want to encourage you, no matter what the word is, no matter what the big word is in the Bible, to have a working definition so that immediately you have a working definition click off in your brain when somebody starts talking about it. And the working definition that just clicks in my brain immediately whenever I hear somebody use the word patience is enduring faith. Patience is enduring faith. Patience is believing in other people. Of course, patience, the ultimate patience is believing in God with enduring faith and trusting in Him and never losing hope. And whatever it might be, I don't care what you prayed for. If you prayed for it in God's will, God is going to give it to you eventually. Because whatsoever we ask according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of Him. But He may test your enduring faith for a long time and work in those patience. We're told in the book of Hebrews that we have need of patience so that after we have done the will of the Lord, we may inherit the blessing. And every one of us needs patience. There is nobody who ever accomplishes God's will, and there's no church that ever accomplishes God's will in a community that does not have a patient spirit. We have got to be patient. We've got to be patient. We've got to have an enduring faith towards those that have trusted in the Lord as their Savior and even dropped out of church for 3 years, that God is going to work in them and God is going to bring them back. And so I'd like to use this patient in spirit. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit, or the church that's patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. And the church that's proud in spirit, and I want to encourage us to have a church that has a patient spirit about us. with other people. And I believe we need this. I believe we have some of this. But I believe we need more here at Faith Bible. I want to give you three things tonight, another three-point sermon. 3 points in a poll. No, that's a joke. It's an old joke among preachers. 3 points in a poll. But this one does have 3 points. And what the church needs is, number one, a patient pastor. And the church needs a patient pastor. And you might want to just put in parentheses patient leadership, because there's more than just one pastor here. There's more than just one leader here. There's many, I think, that would fit the description of leaders in this church here. And obviously, it's been just wonderful to see in the last year the leadership that has risen up in the chapel over there in Evans. And boy, how we need patience. We need to have a patient pastor. I think that this world would be so different if we could just learn this one point. I cannot tell you how many pastors, especially young pastors, have given up over this thing of impatience, where they felt that they were called by God to go to a particular church or a particular town or city or a particular mission field. And they felt it was the definite leading of the Lord, and they got there, and not much happened for a month, and not much happened for 6 months, and not much happened for a year, and not much happened for 2 years, and they came to some unscriptural conclusion that, well, maybe I'm out of God's will, and they leave. And boy, I just think the history of Western New York, for sure, and the history of our country and the history of the world would be different if we could have some patient pastors and patient missionaries and patient teachers who would just go somewhere, just drive their stakes down if they are absolutely convinced this is where God wants them, and they would just stay and stay and stay and stay and sow the seed and pray and work and labor and love. It'd be a different experience. I know this is an old illustration, but my friend Pastor Barney Lee, I remember him saying this one time. This was a long time ago, too. We were celebrating his 25th anniversary in the ministry, I think, or 30th. I don't remember what it was, but all of us pastors got together and said, we need to have a big deal here for him. And so we did something in secret and had a great night, and he got up and spoke, and he talked just about Buffalo, New York. Maybe some of you haven't heard this or not, but he said that in the time that he settled in Buffalo, New York, he could count 30 young men who graduated from Bible colleges and believed it was God's will that they come to Buffalo, New York and plant a church in Buffalo, New York. And he said most of them lasted a year or less. Some of them a couple years, and then they all just migrated away. And he said, and we're still staggering to try to start any churches in Buffalo. We got a few going now, amen? Even over the last year, Maranatha, or Charity Baptist up on Austin Street, praise the Lord. That's going. Evangelical Baptist Church over there in Lovejoy now is going. And we were up there helping them do some door-to-door work, and God's working there. And I thought about that, and he made that observation. I thought about maybe how the whole history of Buffalo, New York, and Western New York could be different if all those men 30 years ago and 40 years ago who said, God has led me to Buffalo, New York. Why shouldn't I believe that's true? Buffalo is such a needy area. And Western New York, of all those men who had said God had called them there, would have stayed and planted churches instead of two independent Baptist churches. And I know there's other churches of different denominations, too, that preach the gospel. Amen? There's some good people out there. There really are. But I'm just talking about our sister churches. Instead of two in Buffalo, New York, there may have been 30. And maybe those 30 would have branched out and planted some other chapels or something. And you just wonder what may have happened in this area if they had stayed. I'm telling you, this is an important. The church needs a patient pastor. The church needs leadership. And some of you men have got to become pastors. You've got to become pastors, and you've got to become ministers. You've got to just lay down your life on the altar and give your all to God and forget about everything else, because we have got so many empty pulpits in America. You can go to anywhere USA and start a church if you want. You can go to anywhere in the world and start a church if you want. There is such a desperate need for men who will just give their all and be pastors or evangelists or missionaries. And I know it's got to be God's call, and I understand that, but many are called. Many are called, and some of you that are called, and some of you are called here tonight, you share that with me. Now you need to get qualified, and you need to just make that your life's passion. If any man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good thing. It's got to start with desire. Got to have a desire to want to help people. Do a work for God, but if you're going to do it, you've got to be patient. You've got to have a patient spirit if you're going to stay in the ministry. It is the Lord's work. The Lord said, I will build my church. And he just feel pleased and honored and humbled to be used by him. But it is the Lord's work, and he will build it. But we are laborers together with God. Not for God, but we're laborers together with God. And we have got to have some men who are patient. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. When we have here the qualifications of a bishop, which means overseer, we call them pastors. Nothing wrong to call them bishops or elders. Bishops and elders are used interchangeably if you check out Titus chapter 1. When we come to the qualifications here, of the bishop, I just quoted verse number 1, and then verse 2 says, the bishop must be the blameless, the husband of one wife, etc., and for time's sake, skip to verse 3, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient. I want you to notice that the pastor must be patient. It is one of the qualifications of a bishop. In other words, a man who is not patient is disqualified. You've got to be patient because it's God's work. And you know, he's got to also be patient with himself, because God often uses the congregation to pastor the pastor and to show him his faults and the dross in his life. And they have to be patient with him while he's learning, while he's making mistakes. So we've got to have young pastors. We've got to have people who will be patient with young pastors. And even older pastors, because they are flesh and they're humans. But the bishop must be patient, because God's work cannot be done in other people unless they're patient with others. God works in his time in people. And please remember when you were first saved and how, in some areas, how slowly you grew. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. This thought is further developed as Paul talks to the young bishop Timothy, beginning at verse 24. 2 Timothy 2:24. He says this, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. There it is again. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. What a sorry state people are in. People are captive. They're taken snares, trapped by the devil, taken captive by the will of Satan. Verse 26. But the servant of the Lord, he's talking to Timothy here, he's saying, look, you can't be striving with people. You can't be fighting with people. You can't be an in-your-face type of guy. But you've got to be gentle unto all men. You know, the psalmist David said in Psalm 18, I think it's verse 35, he said about God, he said, thy gentleness hath made me great. David realized humbly that he had become a great man. And he did. He had become a great man. I mean, he wasn't boasting or proud about it. He knew he had become a great man. But at the end of his life, when he acknowledged how great he had become, he said this: "It is because God has been gentle with me while I was growing. While I was growing." And he now says to us as leaders, he says, we must be gentle. We can't be fighting with people. We've got to be gentle with all men, able to teach, apt to teach the Word of God, patient. And then when we do instruct people who have gone astray, we've got to do it in meekness. Verse number 25. Well, this is good advice right here. It speaks here about servant leadership. Servant leadership, patiently instructing people, even people that you see trapped by the devil. We got people coming to this church every Sunday trapped by the devil. You can see them struggling with alcohol, struggling with drugs. One of the men at the chapel, went to see him last night, Saturday night, about 7 o'clock, went over to his house, and he just got out of the hospital, and he admitted himself because of some struggles in his life, and so on and so forth. And, you know, it wasn't like, you know, it was a case where he, you know, had a horrible injury and ended up with a problem with painkillers. You know, that stuff happens. And he needs some help. And I just went over to his house, had some prayer with him last night. He said, I can't come anymore. He said, he gave some reasons and so on. I said, brother, don't quit. Don't quit. God's working in your life and God's working in your family. And I was glad, you know, 9:30 this morning, he come walking in with his family and his kids, and they were back. And don't give up. Don't give up. We've got to be in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. He was opposing himself. I'm going to quit. I've tried. It's not working for me. He says, Pastor, I don't know. He says, prayer. He says, I can't think of one prayer I've gotten answered. Last night I said, don't quit, brother. I said, God's teaching you. I can see you growing. I can see you growing. And your kids are loving it. And they're getting helped. And so on. This is a good thing for you. I said, I turned to Romans 10:17. I said, so then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing the word of God. Brother, you got to keep hearing the word and hearing the word and hearing the word. And pretty soon that faith's going to kick in and you're going to start getting your prayers answered. And I promise you, if you will, 1 year from now, you'll look back and say, wow, God's brought me a long ways. God, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, peradventure, perhaps will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and some of these people begin to acknowledge the truth. We've got to be patient in instructing people. We've got to be patient while God opens eyes, while God opens understanding, while God opens the scriptures to people. It might be as clear as day to you, because you've walked with the Lord so much. But for them, they're still in darkness. They don't know some of the very basics of the faith. I mean, we literally got people that come to church who think prayer is saying something like, now I lay me down to sleep, pray, O Lord, my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, pray, my Lord. They actually think that's prayer. Or if they repeat some prayer over, they're clueless. And they sit among you. And we have got to be patient with them. I used the scripture this morning out of 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 4 as I was preaching on afflictions this morning. Afflictions and why do bad things happen to really good people. But the same verse says this in 2 Corinthians 6, 4. It says, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience. In afflictions. In much, the minister who is approved of God shows much patience, not a little, but much patience with people. And boy, I could recite stories from my ministry where I lost patience with people and I hindered the work of God that God was doing in them. And I can recite other stories where I had had it up to here with certain people. And I was about ready to explode and go over and tell him what I really thought. And God gave me a gentle spirit and a meek spirit and a patient spirit. And I just remembered James 1 and verse 20, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And God would change my spirit and I'd be patient. And patience is almost always the right decision. When you're working with other people as a pastor, some of you are going to be pastors, you're going to be leaders, you're going to be teachers, and you're going to be evangelists, and you're going to be missionaries, and so on and so forth. You better have a patient spirit, a patient spirit. The church needs a patient pastor. Number two, the church needs a patient people. The church needs a patient people. I've got news for you tonight. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I've got news for you tonight. You are not the Holy Spirit. Some of you think you are. And it's quite destructive what you do to some other people. Thinking you're the Holy Ghost. Some of you are nothing more than busybodies in other men's matters. And you're not qualified to help people. I'm not trying to be unkind tonight. I'm just saying there's a Diotrephes in every group who likes to throw people in and out of the church. And that's in the Bible for a reason. And there's some times where people who are not qualified and not patient feel they got to go up to somebody who's only been saved for 2 weeks and tell them how to dress. Or tell them to put their cigarette out, or tell them to quit doing this or that, or so on and so forth. And that person is not strong enough yet to not be offended. And we retard their growth. And I'm telling you, I've had dozens and dozens and dozens of visits in my life where I've gone to people and I couldn't figure out why'd they drop out, why'd they quit coming, and so on and so forth. And you get there and they say, well, so and so in the church said thus and thus to me. And they had not learned yet that the church did not have all perfect people in it. And they really thought that Christians would be different. And they got issues. And listen, I even want to go so far as to say is we have people walk in here sometimes with different Bibles. And you have to be careful how you deal with that issue. Because the Bible is dear to them. No matter what the version is, if that's all they've known, the Bible is dear to them. You can't walk up to them and say, why don't you throw that thing in the weeds? You know, I've heard that stuff. Why don't you throw your beads in the weeds? Because somebody just come right out of Catholicism. Well, they pull out their favorite crucifix and show it to you. They just got saved. They think that's a wonderful thing. We've got to be patient with them. As the Holy Spirit shares, and we've got to be very meek, very tactful as we talk to them and say, you know, brother, let me just show you something here in the Bible, and what do you think about this version? I said, you know, I don't say that's of the devil. I say, well, you know, you might be able to use that in reference from time to time, but the King James Bible is the Word of God, and let me just show you some differences in here. And so. And pretty soon, because you're gentlemen and their eyes are getting really big, I never knew that. And listen, we're going to accomplish the work of the Lord a whole lot more with that spirit. A patient spirit is better than a proud. A proud spirit says, that Bible's of the devil. A patient spirit says, well, let me just show you some things I learned. I used to use that version, in fact. I tell people that sometimes. I used to use that version. Let me show you some things I've learned about it. Patient spirit. We need a patient people. Notice in 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12, it says this, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. In other words, love the leadership, love the pastor, esteem him very highly, not so much because of him, but the position, the office, the God-ordained office. And I don't even feel worthy of this office, but I do magnify the office. I try not to magnify myself, but these verses magnify the office. The Apostle Paul said, I magnify my office. And we ought to always do that. If somebody is a mom or a dad and you're dealing with bus children, magnify the office of father and mother. Maybe you can't magnify the person, but you can magnify the office. Tell them, well, you know, you need to do what your mom and dad say. Well, he is our president. We need to pray for him. We don't have to agree with all of his policies, but he's our president. He is the policeman. He is the judge. We ought to magnify offices. It says, be at peace among yourselves. Every one of us ought to strive to have peace in the body of Christ. And the next verse says this, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. You know, some kid runs to the church or something, warn them. Comfort the feeble minded, those that are very weak, ready to give up. Support the weak. That's the new baby that in Christ that's just learning how to walk, that has knees like marshmallows. And you got to just support them. Help them walk along. But then it says this, be patient toward all men. This is talking now to the church. It's not talking to the pastors. It's talking to the people. Number two, we need a patient people. The people of the church are admonished to be patient. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. Somebody in church does evil to you, so what? You're going to survive it. You know, it says if we have a quarrel against any, we're supposed to forgive. Whatever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and outside the church, to all men. Be patient toward all men. Be patient toward all men. Verse 14. Now this is, of course, one of the harder commandments in the Bible, I think, to keep on a church-wide scale. And we've got to do it, though. Every one of you needs to become a minister, in a sense, within the congregation who is patient towards all men. I know there's people that we have to forbear in love. They have a certain characteristic about them, and sometimes for years and years and years you think, boy, I wish and hope he's going to change in that area. Or I wish she's going to change in that area. When is she going to change in that area? And that's probably how some people think about me regarding some things. You got to remember that. When is he going to change? When is she going to change? Are they going to be like this forever? But be patient towards all men. God is working in them. It is God that worketh in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And if you will notice, it might be slow, but if you'll notice, people do change. And the Lord gets around to working on them. He's pretty good at it. And he changes people. And he's more interested in changing them than you are and than I am. But we need to be a patient people. A patient church is a remembered church. In Revelation 2, it says this about the church at Ephesus in verse 2. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. Jesus said, I know your patience. And how thou canst not bear them that which are evil. They weren't patient with evildoers, false prophets, and has tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. I mean, we're not supposed to have any patience with them. And has borne and has patience, verse 3, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Now, this church at Ephesus had some things wrong with it, but the Lord complimented. Twice he used the word patience. I know your patience. I know your patience. The church at Ephesus is a church that we should emulate in that area. They had left their first love. They didn't lose their first love. They left it. And that's a bad thing. And they had to correct that. But they were remembered by Jesus Christ as he was complimenting them for being a patient with the people that they were ministering to. Not false prophets, but patient with the people. We need to have a patient people. We need to be like the church at Ephesus. And sadly, some churches run people out as fast as they come in if they don't change in a month. Or a week for some people. And we cannot be a church like that. Because if we're going to see potential reached in people, the potential that God sees in them, that God needs to use us as a tool of patience. And so be careful when you approach somebody the way they dress, the way they act, the way they, walk out of the door. You know, we get a guy at the Evans Chapel, a lot of times he walks out the door, lights up a cigarette. First thing he does, I guess I make him nervous when I'm preaching or something. Can't imagine that. But hey, I just ignore the thing. I say, man, I'm glad to see you, brother. I'm glad you come. You're a blessing. And we need to be patient. You got to be patient with yourself also. Luke 21:19 tells you, be patient with yourself. You can beat yourself right out of God's will and God's work too by being impatient with yourself. And your patience possesses your souls, Jesus said. Some people just get too hard on themselves. Like the guy I was talking to last night, I quit. I tried for a month. And I said, you need to be patient. God's working on you. I can see it. Others can see it. You're taking little baby steps. You're growing a little bit. He spent a whole week, one week, reading the Bible. A whole week. And all he did was read the Bible. Wow. I said, people save 30 years, never done that. God wants to use us, and God sends people to us, and God sends people on the bus, and the buses sometimes, and you look where they come from, and you say, man, how are they ever going to get to where God wants them to be? But it's going to have to be a patient people. Be careful how you treat people that come in on buses or whatever it might be. Down and outers, up and outers, or so on. If we're not careful, we can have a prevailing spirit in the church. Well, we all want to be sharp dressers, middle-class people, certain income range, and so on. If you're not careful, you'll end up trying to get a church like that. That's not what our Lord wanted. He said, man, go out and get a bunch of blind people, maimed people, halt people, people that can't do anything for themselves, try to help them, bring kids in, suffer little children to come unto me, forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. He said, go out in the highways and hedges, compel them to come in at my house, maybe full. Boy, there's some churches, boy, they just got that one, we want this type of middle-class people, certain income to come into our church, well-behaved character people, and then we can really impress God. Last of all, we need to have a church that has patient progress. A patient pastor, a patient people, and patient progress. We should be making progress. When I'm talking about patience tonight, I'm not talking about procrastination, where we do nothing. I'm talking about we work, but we work with patience. Luke 8:15 says they bring forth fruit with patience. We should be bringing forth fruit. When we're talking about patience, we're not talking about apathy. We're not talking about laziness. We're not talking about procrastination. We're talking about patience while bearing fruit for the Lord. There ought to be some fruit bearing going on. Anything that is alive should be growing. I want you to evaluate the ministries you're overseeing. How's your ministries doing? And you got to have patience in your ministry. If you got some Sunday school class or some children's church, some bus route or something like that, If it's alive, it should be growing. Now, I know it's got to grow with patience. In James 5 and verse 7, James 5 verse 7 says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the ground, earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain." We've had the early rains. We just got done through May, and then we're going to have the latter rains, and then the harvest will come in September around here. He has long patience for it. But that doesn't mean he's doing nothing. He's tilling his soil. He's pulling weeds out and so on. He's fertilizing and all those other things. And some of you are farmers. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we become disillusioned with what we are doing if we don't see souls saved or baptized or ministries built or lives changed, or we see people dropping out, and maybe we don't see our needs met, or projects seem to go real slow and people aren't growing. And these are the times when we need to have long patience. We need to accept that we're still in God's will. But we also need to evaluate, does it mean, am I just procrastinating? Or maybe I've been kind of lazy with this ministry that God has given me. Maybe I haven't been working it. Boy, a farmer doesn't work his fields. He ends up with weeds in September. That's it. But we need to have patient progress, and many of you are involved in many things around the church. Some things seem to be really flourishing lately, and it's a blessing. Other things seem very stagnant. Some seem to be dead on life support. And I think there's been, in some cases, some negligence. And what God has given you is important to do. And you need to get back at it and make that thing alive. But be patient while you're doing it and while you're working with people. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. We don't want to have pride in our church. We want to be patient. I want to encourage you to pray for me to be patient with all men. I want to encourage you to be patient with everybody. Everybody. And God sends us some real doozies, man, I'll tell you. They come in here and you're like, whoa. And the human reaction finds us, do we really want this one around very long? That's not right. Because who knows what God may turn that person into if he can find a patient church to plant them in. Let them grow. And let God be the one that works in them. Then we need to have patient progress. Are you progressing? I don't know. You know, if you're in a ministry and it's progressing like a snail, at least it's progressing. But some of this stuff needs to get kick-started too. Like as the bow our heads for a word of prayer, Heavenly Father, just bless now our time of reflection and our time of meditation here. Lord Jesus, thank you for being patient with us. Father God, you just amaze us at your patience with us. Lord, you just don't give up on people. You're so amazing. And that is my testimony. That's our testimony, so many of us. We don't know why you just don't find someone else to use. But you're patient with us. Thank you, Holy Lord. Help us to be like thee. Help me to be a patient pastor. We know, Lord, there are time wasters who are sent by Satan to distract us from being fruitful. We know that. That's a different subject. But Lord, there's others that just need a patient pastor, need patient people. There's some here, Lord, and Father, you know my heart. I don't mean to be unkind to them, but they're always pushing people. Always trying to get people to change before their time. And they're always trying to be the Holy Spirit. And they don't even know it sometimes. They're offending people who are not ready to receive some steak jammed down their throats when these are just babies who can only take a little milk. And Lord, I pray you just expose that to all of us. Help us. And if we even got some questions about it, we might just pray for your wisdom in this area. Lord, I pray for a prevailing spirit of patience in this church with some people. And I think as the world goes on, Father, we're going to get some worse and worse people in here. But you want to save them and you want to clean them up. And Lord, you want to use us as just one of your tools to help bring that about. Oh God, help them to be able to come to a church that loves them. It's not going to look down on them the first time they fall. Lord, help us to be a church that lifts up people. And bless our invitation and dismissal tonight. For Jesus' sake, I pray. Amen.